same.
Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. Hey, welcome back to our show. Today is May the 13th, 2016, and the second of our weekly South Centers live streaming radio, and eventually the video shows that are aired on our South Centers channel, located here in Piketon, Ohio. Our goal is simple, to inform our listening and viewing audience of the diverse educational programs and, more importantly, the individuals who work with these programs and how they are able to assist you. Broadcasts include personnel from the Business Network team, the Agricultural Research and Educational Programs, our Aquaculture, Soil and Water, Bioengineering, our Food Marketing, the Co-op Program, and many other programs that benefit our area, Ohio State as well, and on a global basis. We use our different program leaders, researchers, educators, and personnel from the Ohio State University Cell Centers as moderators, facilitators, and educational leaders to give our listening and viewing audience a well-rounded perspective of our many different programs. I'm Patrick Dangle, and today we have with us a number of different individuals from the Ohio State University Cell Centers. We have Mick Witt. He is the Manufacturing Small Business Development Director. We have Hannah Scott. She is with the Ohio Co-op Development. We have Jennifer Dunn, who represents the Endeavor Center here at the Ohio State University, and Kimberly Rush, who's going to talk a little bit about the schedules. So it's my great pleasure to turn the microphone over to Mick. Mick, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you, Patrick. We've got, as you mentioned, we have several guests, and we're going to get started first with Hannah Scott. Hannah, as you have already said, but she's the program manager of the Ohio Cooperative Development Center. So good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Mick. Thanks for having me.
First, let's just start off. You can kind of give us a summary of what it is that you do and what your program does.
Sure. So the Ohio Cooperative Development Center is one of the programs of the Business Development Network here at the OSU South Centers. So we work with new and emerging cooperatives throughout actually Ohio and West Virginia. So our program covers a two-state service area. And we work with those co-ops in order to encourage rural economic development. So we provide those businesses that are either looking at formation or have recently formed, typically within the last 5 or 6 years, and we work with them to develop their businesses. So we may work with a group on business planning or financial planning assistance. We may also work with them on board training and strategic planning. Oftentimes, we work with groups that haven't yet formed, and we assist them through the formation process, so we call that formation counseling. And we work with them to assess whether a cooperative business will meet their needs, and then walk them through the process of forming and then getting that cooperative operational. So we try to work with businesses or cooperative businesses one-on-one, over a period of time that can be anywhere from a couple of weeks to 4 years, just depending on the needs of the group.
So could you tell me maybe what is the difference between, say, a co-op that you would help form and a traditional corporation?
Sure. So co-op businesses, they're a business model just like an LLC or a sole proprietorship or a publicly owned corporation that we often think of. But the co-op model is a little bit different. First and foremost, there are multiple definitions of a co-op, and there are a lot of things that a co-op might do. But all co-ops share a couple of main principles. First, they are user-owned. So the individuals that use the service of the business are the owners, and they essentially start the business. They also receive the benefits and the profits from the business, and they they're the owners in a traditional sense that we think of ownership. So when you ask who owns this co-op business, it's going to be a multitude of members that share the mutual need that that business serves. So user ownership is the first major principle. The second one is user control. And so in a co-op business, the business is controlled by its members that are also the major users of the service. And they control the business by having voice in the activities of the business, largely through their board of directors. Their board of directors are elected from and by the membership. They also have voice in any decision-making for the co-op that's a major decision, or any decision-making that the board of directors feels they need to consult with the membership. One of the major ways that they do that is through annual meeting, where members have voice and get to come hear updates on the co-op and give the co-op feedback as that user owner. And then the third major principle after user ownership and user control is that co-ops benefit their users equitably. And so that means that the benefits of the business are shared back with the owners, much like we think of in a sole proprietorship, the owner gets the profits from the business. In a cooperative, those benefits are shared back in a way that is equitable across the membership, because keep in mind that there's going to be a lot of people in this owner-member category. Usually that means that a co-op shares profits or surplus based on how much a user member uses the business. In co-ops, we call that patronage. So in order to make sure everything's fair, those profits are shared back based on use. And so user ownership, user control, and equitable benefits across users set apart co-ops from other types of businesses. And there are a lot of other kind of small, nuanced ways that co-ops are different, but those are the major ways. And then in addition, I'd like to highlight, too, that co-ops are formed in order to provide a service for their members that there's a mutual need for their members, and the group can serve that mutual need or solve a common problem better than groups than an individual can. So it's all about coming together to solve a common problem. And so co-ops, really, their major motivation is to serve their members in whatever way that that would benefit their members. They're not created to create a return on investment. And so as you can imagine, that creates some differences in financing, and in management, and in the way that the co-op interacts with its users. Finally, the biggest difference between a co-op and a corporation or any other business, actually, is that the co-op is democratically controlled by its member users. That democratic control means that member owners of a co-op have one vote per member on all matters of the business. We call that the one member, one vote principle. That vote is not in proportion to the amount of shares that you own or the amount of money that you invested in the business, like it would be in a typical shareholder-owned corporation. That ensures that control is spread across all of those user members in a way that doesn't allow power to kind of coalesce around a certain group. So one individual or a small group of individuals can't control the entire organization. That control is spread out across the user members so that the organization benefits everybody. So those are really the major differences in a co-op and in other types of businesses. And I should mention, too, that was speaking in terms, very generic terms of business models. And I want to make sure that our listeners understand that co-ops as a business model can be applied really in any industry. So largely the co-ops that we work with are agricultural based. They're either agriculture or food enterprises. That's really historically been where co-ops are really strong in the United States, and that's where a lot of the interest is. As you can imagine, there's a lot of mutual need and common problems in those industries that can be solved with a group. But that's not to say that's the only place where co-ops operate. you can think of some other pretty prominent co-ops in the U.S. that aren't in agriculture. So if you bank at a credit union, that's a mutually owned or cooperatively owned business. If you are an insurance policy holder with a mutually owned insurance company, that is a mutually owned or cooperatively owned business. There are co-ops that operate in every space from funeral services to sports and everything in between. So we work with all of those. We work across industries because we concentrate on the model. So I don't want anybody to think that we only work with groups that are agriculture or food-based.
Good. So if there was a specific maybe fear or concern of people that are considering a co-op, maybe what would be one of those major concerns that you hear, and then how do you kind of answer that concern?
Sure. So one of the major challenges in working in a co-op first is that I always like to tell everybody the best part about working cooperatively is working cooperatively. The worst part about it is working cooperatively. So I'm sure, as you know, that working in a group can sometimes be challenging. And that's the same in a co-op. So because there are multiple owners, because that control is spread across democratically the group, that can sometimes be complex to manage, right? So, and then also there's this need to share. So essentially, if you're entering into a co-op business and you're all about you're concerned with sharing those benefits across the business, if you're concerned with sharing control of the business, the co-op business model might not be for you. And that's one of the foremost concerns that we hear from folks and one of the challenges that we make sure to talk about up front when we address with people, is the co-op business model right for you? And so the first thing that we ask a group who comes in and says we're interested in a cooperative is, what's the mutual need that you'll be serving? What are those members, and do they all recognize the same mutual need? Because that really gets to the essence of will working in a group actually work out?
Good. So if someone's listening right now is interested either in the possibility of developing a co-op or at least wants more information, what's a good way to get in contact with you?
Sure. There are a couple of different ways to get in contact with us. First, I would tell them to check out our website. So that's on the South Center's website, so southcenters.osu.edu, and that includes all of the programs on our show today. Our program is under...
also on the screen.
Yeah, it also should be right there on your screen. So our program is listed under the business programs under cooperatives. So actually, if you just look at southcenters.osu.edu/cooperatives, that'll give you quite a bit of information. And then also folks can contact me directly. So my email is scott.scott.1220@osu.edu. And then we can be reached by phone as well, 740-289-2071. And they can reach out any of those ways that are convenient for them. And we look forward to hearing from folks.
All right. Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you.
Very good. Very good. Very informative. All right. We're going to take a break from that just for a little bit, and we're going to go to Kimberly Roush. She's our program assistant here, and she's going to give us some upcoming events.
Hello, all. Last week, I think we talked a little bit about the Department of Labor event. That was scheduled last week, and it turned out very well. We had great attendance and a lot of feedback, and people really were interested in what was going on and had a lot of questions, and it was really a great event. So be watching for that in the future. We might be adding another one later on in the year to talk about specifics. The last one was kind of a general overview of a lot of areas dealing with Department of Labor. So the next one will be maybe a little bit more focused on a couple of specific regions that were of most interest to those people. Also, for the May the 24th event we have coming, I mentioned last week also, it's a social media class, It's called Facebook and Twitter Success Training. We partner with the Southern Ohio Procurement Outreach Center to give you a series of social media events throughout the year. And this next one is coming again May the 24th. If you want to register for that, you might give them a call at 740-377-5450. We'll talk about attendees. We'll learn about maybe, Facebook Live, how to create contests, how to increase your audience, which is always an interest to those social media groups. And then Twitter, we'll take a look at maybe how to drive more traffic to your website and more how to engage more in that venue. On June the 7th, we have coming the quarterly manufacturing roundtable event. Any manufacturers in the area, just give us a call. Mick specifically facilitates this event and coordinates all the details, so you'll be hearing more about that a little bit later. But if you want to get on our list, just give us a call, and I'll give you the contact information at the end here. We also have on June the 9th another social media event, and that one will take place at Ironton. The rest of them I'm talking about today will take place here in Piketon, but this specific one will be in South Point, actually. I call it Ironton, but South Point is where it's located. And again, that's a partnership with Southern Ohio Procurement Outreach Center. It's social media. It's a general event. Social Media 2016, we'll talk about maybe some of the tools that 2016 kind of added so you can use throughout the year and maybe get some ideas on where you want to go, what direction you want to go. Another social media event coming is August the 16th. It's Instagram and Pinterest necessities. And then when you take a look at the research, we find these days for social media, it's kind of surprising. Instagram and Pinterest are kind of leading the way behind Facebook. Twitter's taken a little bit of a step back, it seems, in some of the data that we take a look at. Let's see, in September, we're not sure about a specific date yet because it conflicts with something else we're having here at the South Center. And if you'd like to join us here on September the 15th for a 25th anniversary program, feel free to stop by. And you probably will see details on our website about that coming soon. And but for the September event, Financial Roundtable, we'll give you a specific date on that later on. But all of the information I'm giving you today, you can find on our blog, or you can email me, and I can add you to our listserv, and you can get direct emails. So my email address is Roush, R-O-U-S-H, .143@osu.edu, and I'll add you to our listserv and our blog if you'd like. So that's pretty much it, what we're looking at for events so far, and those details and locations and costs will be posted later on.
I just want to say something. Because we live in a rural area, we have to take advantage of the different social media. For instance, Kimberly and I started a blog talk radio up at the University of Rio Grande to help the MBA students and the business students be involved and understand. We've also taken our blog talk radio and introduced the business classes at some of the University of Rio Grande students. We're very active in Twitter, very active in Facebook, many of the different social medias. And one of the reasons being is that it's far easier to touch the world, if you want to call it that, with different tools that we have available. And I'm very pleased that Kimberly is involved with this new program that we're doing here at the Ohio State University South Centers.
Thanks, Patrick. One other guest we have with us is Jennifer Dunn, and she's a program assistant here at South Centers. And with all the great people here that work at the Business Development Network and all the resources that we have available, one of the greatest resources that we have is the Endeavor Center and what it offers to businesses the business starts. Jennifer, would you be able to tell us a little more about the Endeavor Center and what it could possibly offer?
Sure. The Endeavor Center itself, we've been here since 2005, and what we are is a facility of 27,000 square feet. 20,000 of that is rentable office space, and then another 3,000 of that is classroom space. We currently house 18 small businesses, and unfortunately, we are at maximum occupancy. But on the bright side of that is our businesses will eventually graduate and be able to afford office space on their own and go out on their own. So therefore, you'll need to speak with Ryan Mapes, who is our Endeavor Center manager, get an application in. You never know when one of our businesses are currently going to graduate and there'll be a business spot open for you. If you're a business here in the incubator, you receive support, thanks Kimberly, from our SBDC, which is our Small Business Development Network. Also, you'll have the opportunity to network with other businesses, promote yourself that way. You receive access to all of the fax machines, the high-speed copiers, high-speed internet, phone systems, things that you might not be able to afford when you first start on your own, and also an address. And then if you would ever need to have a conference room or a classroom, I can basically hook you up and help you coordinate an event. Say if you want to bring somebody in, if you're an investment company looking for clients, you can have an open house. I can handle your catering, any kind of technology issues that you might need or want, and also help get that out through word of mouth and your networking. We also, like I said, have classrooms that you can rent. If there's a business in the community that needs to hold an event, have a meeting, go over yearly updates, annual procedures or whatnot, I have a small conference room that seats 12 people. It's boardroom style. I have a computer lab that has 16 terminals, a classroom that holds 20, and also a classroom that holds 60. In the two larger classrooms, we have media, we have overhead projector, we have DVD, any kind of technology that you would need to show, any updates, YouTube videos and whatnot. And I can also handle the coordination of your breakfast or lunch if you want that served or anything else.
Great. So basically it's a great way if someone's considering starting a business, they need some space, but they would be able to come in. They're not going to have to worry about the facilities. They're not going to have to worry about the yard. They're not going to have to worry about anything. Everything's going to be provided for them to help them kind of get that jump start without all the maybe overhead, not just the overhead, but the responsibility and the time that would take away from actually developing their business.
And Jennifer takes care of all of our events that I just mentioned earlier, and she does a wonderful job. You don't have to worry about anything. She just takes care of all the details. So it would be a great experience for you if you rent.
It's my understanding that the Ohio State University is going to celebrate its 25th anniversary.
It is
coming.
It is September the 15th.
And on that September 15th, I believe everyone is invited.
They are.
You know, 25 years involved with the South Centers, and I know all of us have not been here at day one, but we have seen a lot of growth and a lot of new kinds of things. Jennifer, how long have you been here at the South Centers?
I'll be here 5 years this fall.
5 years. And Kimberly?
I've been here 8 years.
8 years. Mick?
I am the longest person here because I've been here since September.
September?
Yes.
2015? Well,
right.
So you're the baby of
I am the baby.
And Hannah?
I actually only beat Mick by a little bit. I joined in January 2015.
January 20. Wow. So we have two babies and two older people.
Wait a minute.
Very nice.
Patrick, I will add, you mentioned that not all of us have been here at the South Center since day one, but we do have a few folks on our staff here that have been here since day one and are celebrating the 25th anniversary along with the South Center.
That is fantastic.
You know,
great to learn from those individuals, and I'm sure they'll be excited to kind of recap that growth with all of our visitors and share with them how we've grown from just one building and a research farm to the campus we are today.
That is true. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at the campus down at Ohio State University South Centers, you're going to find, 12, 13 fish ponds in which they do various different research. We have fish tanks. We have the Endeavor Center. We have a variety of different things. We have a large field. Do we not have field days where individuals are welcome to come in and take a look at some of the research that's being done?
We do, and you can also probably find the days and times of that on our website on the individual programs. A lot of the horticulture programs would be listed on there.
Yeah, Patrick, that's correct. We are a fully functioning research farm. So those fields that you mentioned and the ponds, those are research and extension programs in horticulture programs as well as aquaculture and soil and bioenergy programs. So I actually look out my office window and see strawberry plots, hops plots, pumpkin trials, wine grape trials, you name it. It's out there in the research plots. So it's kind of interesting to see the products of all of that.
That is true. You know, I'm not a farmer, but it is interesting to see the different ways in which you can increase the yield, the farm yield, just by talking with some of the researchers and the educators. In the coming weeks, we're going to have several of our agricultural researchers and educators who are going to talk about the soil, bioengineering. So it is a great place to come and visit. We have on our sheet right in front that you're looking at, it has a website, and it has different components that are available. We have about 3 minutes left for this broadcast. Mick, I know that you've been involved with the manufacturing program for quite a bit of time. Your personal background with manufacturing?
Yeah, I spent many years as a machinist, starting in just a small manual machine shop, and then progressed to CNC machining, CNC programming, and then into actually pattern making at a cast iron facility, and then later into quality and quality management. So I've been in a lot of facilities, helped as a quality manager, and would go and check on the product that we were making and how our customers were, how they were machining what it was that we made. So I've seen a lot of different facilities, a lot of different processes. And one thing I wanted to mention, as far as all those that are around the table today, all the different programs that we've mentioned, it's very interesting here at South Center how all the programs, as different as they are from manufacturing to horticulture to aquaculture, but how there are different times that we all work together, because even some of the research that's being done and maybe local farmers that are benefiting from those extension programs are also some of the same people that Hannah works with in maybe developing a co-op, which in turn may help someone here, maybe helping those same individuals with some sort of funding for their farms or equipment. So it really is a place where people can find help or resources for all their needs.
That is very, very true. I want to thank everyone. Mick, I want to thank you for being a moderator, a facilitator, individuals, and thank you.
You are welcome. Thank you, Hannah, for your time today. I want to thank Jennifer and Kimberly for all their information and their time.
This is our Ohio State University South Center's live radio streaming program that we are holding for at least a day from 9:30 to 10. Thank you for listening. and goodbye.